Today, Montana Governor Steve Bullock dropped out of the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. Former Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Sestak did the same yesterday, which means 16 Democrats are still running for president. Joining us now is NPR political reporter Juana Summers. Hi, Juana.
Hey, Jeremy.
So the next debate for the Democrats is December 19th, and so far only six have qualified: Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, and Amy Klobuchar. Do you expect more candidates to drop out of the race before then?
Yeah, that's certainly something that we're watching for. The DNC has put in place far stricter rules for that sixth debate, and there's only, give or take, 2 weeks until that qualifying deadline. While not being able to make the stage doesn't automatically mean a candidate will drop out of the race, something that we've seen happen with other candidates like Julian Castro, for example, who's still in it, even though he wasn't on stage, it does deprive the candidates of a really important platform to introduce themselves to new support, would-be supporters, a way to raise more money. So that can have a winnowing effect. And also, frankly, the calendar is just getting really late. They're about only a couple months until voting begins. So financial realities could really start to set in for some of these candidates that haven't been able to break into the top tier and who don't see a viable path for their candidacy at this point.
Now, one candidate who's been kind of in the top tier all along is Joe Biden, the former vice president. He is still leading in the national polls. He's on the third day now of a week-long no malarkey bus tour in Iowa. By the way, the definition of malarkey is written on the side of his bus for people who don't know what that means. Early on in his campaign, he was saying he didn't need to win Iowa. What's the latest thinking?
So I'm heading on that bus tour later this week, and the former vice president is going through 18 counties in the state. That's clearly a huge investment of his time at this critical moment in the race. We heard the former vice president kind of talk about why he's doing this now over the weekend. He made the case that this is the time to peak in Iowa. 2 months before voters start to really tune in, before those first votes are cast, this is when he wants to be making that investment and spending a lot of time there. And make no mistake, this is also coming as South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg is performing quite well in the state. And many say that he and the former vice president are competing for that same lane of centrist voters for primary support.
Well, let's talk about Pete Buttigieg. In an ad that is now airing in Iowa, he is criticizing his rivals for their free college tuition plans. He says they would benefit a lot of wealthier students. Here it is.
I only want to make promises that we can keep. Look, what I'm proposing is plenty bold. I mean, these are big ideas. We can gather the majority to drive those big ideas through without turning off half the country before we even get into office.
And how concerned are the other candidates about Buttigieg's surge in the polls, and what are they planning to do about it?
I think there is quite a bit of concern. And if you listen to the way he talks in that ad, he doesn't say the names, say Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, but you hear him clapping back to folks who have bold plans and big ideas and saying, hey, look, I'm a guy who has those kind of big plans too. Now, when I talk to rival campaigns about Pete Buttigieg and how he's performing, one of the biggest things they point to is the fact that while he's rising in the polls in places like Iowa and New Hampshire and polls quite well in other places with older white Americans, he has almost no backing from black voters who are incredibly important to a Democratic path to the nomination. And he lags behind some of his rivals like Warren and Sanders when it comes to younger voters. So that's why you see him this week focusing on southern states like North Carolina and South Carolina, looking for new ways to connect with black voters, aiming at that weakness that a number of his rivals have pointed out.
Do you think that that weakness among black voters is unique to Buttigieg, or are a lot of candidates kind of in the same level of polling when it comes to African-American voters?
That's a great point. I actually don't think it's unique to him. We've seen former Vice President Biden have sort of a strong firewall with black voters, particularly a commanding advantage in South Carolina. But other candidates out there, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren also does not poll particularly well among black voters. We've seen Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders certainly improve his standing from his first presidential campaign. But it would be unfair to say that Pete Buttigieg is the only candidate who is lacking with that key demographic in the Democratic electorate.
Okay, I want to finally ask you about the two new entrants into the race and how they're doing at this point. That would be former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick.
Yeah, so Michael Bloomberg has obviously jolted this race just by the sheer amount of money he's been able to spend, really dominating the television airwaves. Was joking with some friends who are home over the holidays that one of the only political candidates' ads they saw on television over the Thanksgiving holiday was Michael Bloomberg. He's focusing his spending in some of the early Super Tuesday states that he is targeting, and those are places that some of the other candidates aren't spending as much time or money in yet, as they focus on those first four contests in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. As for Deval Patrick, he is starting to staff up. His campaign has recently announced some new hires in New Hampshire and South Carolina, two states he sees as key to his strategy. But he's entering the race a lot later than many other candidates, risking the possibility of not being able to get into those debates just because he doesn't have enough time or a poor showing in these states that he's targeting.
That is NPR political reporter Juana Summers. Juana, thank you and great to have you back at NPR.
Thanks so much.